Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What the Hack?, where we tell you how dangling and hiding can help you win at momming. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 146. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
So let's just jump right in. I need to hear about your week, what's going on with you and your family.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Here's something I was going to tell you about. Okay. So the other day I had a meeting. Sweet segue, right? I'm so smooth.
Yes. Please tell.
Yes. So the other day I had a work meeting. You know, I work from home and I often have meetings that I need to do on Zoom. And the girls were playing in Cece's room. And I was like, oh no, I'm running late to my meeting. So I dart off into my meeting and I send Steve a text saying, I hopped into a meeting. Girls are playing in Cece's room. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And the meeting is going along, blah, blah, blah. About two-thirds of the way through the meeting, I look out the window because I kind of face my backyard window when I'm working. And I see them playing out in the backyard. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, you took them outside to get some air and, you know, sunshine and stuff. That's awesome. And the meeting ends about 30, 35 minutes later. And I head outside to check in on everybody. And I see the girls playing in the sandbox. Cece has the hose. The water's on. She's spraying water everywhere.
That's a favorite pastime here as well.
Oh, God, yes. So obsessed with the hose. And I'm like, hey, girls, where's daddy? I don't know. They're like, ugh. I'm like, oh, where's grandma? Because sometimes grandma will step in and watch. I don't know. I was like, are you guys out here unsupervised? And Elle is like, yeah. I'm like, how long have you been unsupervised? And like, there's just no answer because they're in playing into sand and they don't give a crap about what I'm worried about at this moment. And like, the pieces start coming together for me and I'm like, oh my God, I think they have been playing unsupervised the entire time I was in the meeting because I checked my phone and I noticed that Steve has not responded to that text I sent him. I can tell he hasn't even looked at it yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh my God, like no one has been watching them for 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
And I know they've been outside for a portion of that time. Like, what have they been doing? So I messaged Steve. I'm like, dude, where are you? The girls are out here playing by themselves. What's going on? He's like, I don't know. I thought they were playing in Cece's room. And I was like, yeah, alone. And I told you I had to go to a meeting. He's like, well, I don't always get my messages right away. I'm like, well, I was running late to the meeting. I couldn't like, you know, stop by and tell you. So it was just a massive miscommunication on our part. He didn't know I was in a meeting because he didn't get the message and I didn't have time to tell him in person. You know, it's just like this weird work from home Twilight Zone thing where just all the messages get missed. And so I was like, I had to piece together what happened in this half hour where they had no adults watching them. And luckily I have the Wyze camera running in Cece's room.
Mm-hmm. So you could review the footage.
Yeah, I could review the footage. At first, I thought they had been outside alone for a long time, which I'm not really keen on because, you know, there's gardening tools and, of course, hoses and what. Like, it's just...
It's not set up for unsupervised play.
No, not really. Her room is a little bit better. So I'm, like, looking at the camera, and turns out they were playing in there by themselves for about 20 minutes, and I watched them get into Cece's crib. Both of them were in there. I watch Elle go out of the room into the bathroom, get the bathroom stool, like a little step stool.
Yeah.
She brought it in, put it in the crib.
No.
And was teaching Cece how to use the stool to climb out of the crib. I was just like, this is so much worse than I could have imagined. Because, you know, I'm like desperate for this kid to stay in the crib now that I got her back into it. And she's like teaching her how to climb out of it and all this stuff. And she climbed out. And that's after 20 minutes, they figured out how to get out of that crib and went out back and just turned on the hose and started making mud.
Troublemakers. Oh,
troublemakers. You had the best 30 minutes of your life. Enjoy it because you're on lockdown now, kids. Not going to let that happen again.
Yeah, I have to say I've had a lot of situations with Corey where it's like a similar thing. I'll send a text and that, oh, for instance, last night I was editing the podcast, okay? And I was in the ADU in our office in the back. It's like separate And the baby, Sebastian, was, I guess, starting to cry, right? And, like, he was due for feeding within the hour. I wasn't sure. You know, it's not feeding on demand, so you don't know if he's going to feed in 2 hours or 3 hours after the last feeding. So I thought I had time to edit the podcast. Corey sends me a text, and he's like, he's stirring. And I write back, I was like, oh, okay, is he awake? Do you need me to come in? Question mark. And then nothing. Like... No response for 5 minutes. So I was like, oh, shit, I better go in. Uh-huh. So I come in and I was like, did you get my text? And he's like, oh, no, I wasn't looking at my phone. I was like, dude, we need to communicate better.
Yes, we're so used to messages being received immediately. Like, I don't know. I feel like I always have my phone on me, but it's not true, really. I mean, there are times when I set it down or I'm, you know, in a meeting, I'm not really looking at it. Yeah. So I guess I got to realize that that's not a surefire way to communicate. It's like eyeball to eyeball. That's the only 100% surefire way to get that message across.
Or, you know, you could have a thumbs up if someone sees the text and gives the acknowledgement. Yes. Then it's fine. But yeah.
Yes.
Well,
course.
I'm glad they're okay. Can you remind people how old they are, too? Because some people might think you're worried about like a 10 and 12 year old playing by themselves.
Yes. Ella's 5 and Cece's 2. She's like 2 and 3 months now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm glad they had fun and nothing was destroyed and they didn't get injured.
Yes. I will say that Cece tried to use the stool method again a couple times after that. Like just, you know, I would notice her toddle into the bathroom, grab the stool and kind of try to wedge it into her crib because it's a folding stool, right? You can fold it flat and stick it through the slats. And I'm like, no, just I've got to put the stop on that. Like absolutely no stools in the crib ever. Mommy and daddy help you out of that crib. And I think I got the message through. We haven't had any more issues since then. Yeah,
we actually had to take the pillow out of Augie's crib because one day he was like upset about something, which I'm, you know, it's upset about something during a nap. And he was standing on the pillow and it created just enough extra height for him.
Oh, no.
That he toppled over. And I was standing right next to him. He was mad that he couldn't close the blinds again. This is what he was mad about. He was like, Augie, do it. Augie, do it. And I'm like, you already did it. The blinds are closed. But he was reaching for them, you know? And because he was standing on that pillow, which was a toddler pillow, but still, it gave him just enough height. And he flipped like over and I caught him. It would have been bad.
Yeah.
So we had to take the pillow out because anything that adds extra height, you know, is going to make the crib unsafe for him. And I think it scared the living daylights out of him. So now he doesn't try to reach like that anymore. Thank goodness.
That's good. That's good. They have the capability of learning, which is good. Mm-hmm. Now, my girl has so much stuff in her crib. I'm glad she hasn't figured out how to use that stuff as step stool. She's got a pretty large blanket, a pillow. She has tons of stuffed animals in there. Really, she could stack a lot of that up and get out of there, I bet.
Just don't let Elle find out she has all that stuff that could turn into a exactly. staircase. Exactly. She'll teach her all the things she can do.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's that. What about you guys? What's going on with you over there?
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, the baby, Sebastian, he's 6 weeks. And my toddler, Augie, he's 26 months still, 2 years and 2 months. And yeah, so that means I am 6 weeks postpartum. Oh. So I got to have my visit with my doctor this week.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would go well because I was feeling pretty good. Like I've been feeling really quite good. My bleeding stopped and I don't really have pain anymore where I had the tear. So I went in and it was confirmed. He said everything looked great and I could resume normal activities. It's so funny. My doctor is great. He gave me the same talk when I had Augie at my 6 weeks postpartum visit. He was like, okay, you're free to resume all normal activity. You can lift things. You can have sex. You can do whatever you want. He's like, but if you don't want to do any of that, you can tell your husband that your doctor said that you are on strict, no lifting, no sex, whatever you want until you see him next, because you should go at your own pace. And he's like, I love him so much. I never thought I'd love a male OB like this, but like, I just love him. He's so fantastic. And I was like, he was like, I will have your back. You can say that your doctor is stopping you. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. But also, I don't need to lie. I don't need to lie to Corey.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that because there probably are people in relationships where they feel like people have expectations on them, relationships with their spouse or with their mother or something, who thinks like, okay, it's 6 weeks postpartum, ready to bounce back and do everything that you used to be able to do. And even though you're cleared for activity, doesn't mean that everything's the same or you're not fucking exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love my doctor for that.
He's fantastic.
He is. He is. And one thing that I was surprised to see when I went to my appointment was that the waiting room was full of spouses and partners.
Oh, so partners are allowed back into visits?
Apparently. So for people who are listening later down the line, we are still in the midst of our coronavirus pandemic. And the whole time I was pregnant, you could not bring another person into the office with you. So I had to like record on my phone video of all my sonograms and stuff. And to be fair, Corey wouldn't have been able to come with me because we needed someone to watch Augie. But in theory, we could have gotten a babysitter to watch Augie, or he might have been in preschool and Corey could have come with me.
Right.
But it wasn't allowed. So when I came in for this visit, I guess because the numbers are down so much in LA County, it was back to being allowed. And it was kind of bittersweet for me to see, actually. Like, I was surprised at my reaction to it because I saw a woman and her partner, and they were like FaceTiming with their family and they were crying like happy tears and stuff. And I was just like, oh, I never got that with this pregnancy. And it really makes me feel for people who went through what I went through, but for their first pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, second pregnancy, I'm like, I've done all this before. Mm-hmm. I know what all these visits are. It's fine. But for your first pregnancy, you really want to share it. And that must have been so, so hard. So if you're listening, listeners, and you had to go through your whole pregnancy without having your partner there, I'm so sorry. And I feel you. So, but I'm happy for them because I don't want everyone to have to suffer like we suffered, right?
Yeah.
So that's back to normal, which is nice.
That's good.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about the baby. Mm-hmm. He's going through his first leap, according to Wonder Weeks. Mm-hmm. Remember leaps? You loved the leaps.
Barely. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I can tell he's sort of waking up in, you know, he's starting to be more interactive. He really likes this play gym I have for him, like this arch that goes over a quilt or whatever with hanging, dangling wooden things. He likes to line his back and he's trying to bat at them and stuff. It's really, really sweet. So it's kind of fun to see him start being interactive and more intentional all the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Is he doing tummy time?
He is. He actually enjoys it. He doesn't mind it. He almost fell asleep the other day doing tummy time.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
He's really strong. He's turning his head both ways, and I'm just so proud of him.
Aww.
So the only thing about tummy time and floor time is that Augie likes to come help. Like, anytime I put Sebastian down, Augie's like, want to sit with baby brother, want to kiss baby brother. And then he helps by taking all of his toys away from him.
Oh, that's so helpful.
Yeah, so thankfully the baby doesn't mind so much, but
no,
it does make me feel bad. We had the play gym. We have a different one that's like full of soft cloth toys, thankfully, because Augie came over and he was like ripping them all off the thing. He was like, God, I'll take the whale. I'll take the, you know, he took every toy and like ran off with it. And poor Sebastian was just lying there with an arch over him and nothing tingling.
He's like, what's so cool about this thing?
Yeah, right. Anyway, but it's fun. It's very cute to watch a little baby go through the same thing. You know, then the first time you do it, everything's so new and you don't know what to expect with development. And now I'm remembering this stuff as it comes up. And it's really fun to have that experience of being able to go through it again.
Yeah.
But this time with a little experience, like, I don't know about you. I look back at videos of Augie from when he was really, really little, like a newborn, or even like 6 months and babbling at me. And now, because I know his facial expressions so well and his personality, I can tell he was really trying to like actually communicate something with me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I just thought it was cute little babbling. Like, I didn't really understand that how much he understood.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And now I can see it this time around. You know, I don't know Sebastian's personality as well, but I know that I think we don't give babies enough credit, especially the first time around. And so I'm trying to make sure I give him credit this time and be like, you are trying to reach for that toy. You are trying to talk to me in your own little way. So,
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
I think it's cute. So, and then let's see, toddler update. Boy, I don't want to belabor this. We're still having a bit of a nap regression. However, it's better this week.
Good.
Because we have become consistent and kind of gone back to sleep training.
Okay.
Our new plan, I think I talked about it briefly last week. Did I? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm getting no sleep. I don't remember. But so the plan was that we were going to like tell him exactly what to expect and stick to it, be consistent, because we thought our inconsistency was making things worse, because we would like be worried that he was all emotionally distressed about the new brother showing up. So when he'd be crying in his crib after we put him down, we'd go back in and try to comfort him, and we'd do it like 5 times because we didn't want him to be stressed and blame the baby, blah, blah, blah. Now we're like, okay, we're going to read one book. We're going to sing 2 songs. We're going to give you 2 hugs. And then we're out the door and we're not coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's actually been working. The first night he screamed and screamed and screamed for like 10 minutes. And then he just went to bed. And then the next night, it was like 1 minute of screaming. And then the next night, he screamed until we closed the door. And then he was like, oh, I guess this is pointless.
Oh, interesting. So you're doing this at night because you mentioned naps.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's both. Okay. His nighttime sleep has been fine, but he's been protesting like crazy. So yeah, it's for both. But for the naps, this has actually worked to get him to sleep, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, between all his delays, he's just the master of delays. First, he needs a potty, then he needs to read another book, then he wants to close the window, then he wants to do this, then he needs to turn the light on, then he needs to turn the light off, and then he needs to turn the light off again. You know, it's just like one thing after another. And that combined with the freaking time change that just happened.
Oh, yes.
He is now sleeping for his nap from like 2:30 to like 4:30 or 5 o'clock every day.
Oh my God. When does he even go to bed then at
night? Like 8:30. Like, it's terrible.
Oh, fuck that. Shut it down, Laura. Shut it down.
We're trying. Nope. We're trying. But it's like, it's this thing where it's like, We've also decided we're going to make sure he has 2 hours of quiet time in his crib for his nap no matter what, right? That's what we're telling him. You don't have to sleep, but you're going to be in here for 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get him in the crib at 1, and then he'll fall asleep at 2 or 2:30. And then it's like, well, shit. Am I going to wake him up a half hour after he fell asleep?
Right.
When he hasn't been napping for a week? Like, this is my only time. It's selfish. Because I don't want to wake him up either.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a fucking mess, Shauna.
Oh man, that is such a mess. Oh my God, I'm the person that wakes up the kids if they nap too long. So I'm like stressing out hearing this. But I mean, I understand why you guys are doing it. If he hasn't been napping at all lately, and now he is, it's like you're just grateful to get what you can get.
Exactly. What is your cutoff? Is there like an amount of time they sleep, or is it like an hour?
3 o'clock.
3 p.m. If they're still asleep, you wake them up at 3. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by them, I mean Cece.
Oh, Elle, yeah, of course. Nap. What time is your bedtime, or what time is her bedtime?
7. Okay. Between 7 and 7:30.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe I need to start doing that, because I don't know. It's a mess. But then he wakes up and he's so happy. And it's just like, oh, see? Sleeping. It's glorious.
Yeah. Maybe he'll get hooked on sleeping again when he realizes how great it is.
Why don't these kids understand how great sleeping is? That's what I want to know.
My kid loves it so much that she wakes up cranky every single time because she's not sleeping anymore. So that's one reason I wake her up, too. It's like, well, she's going to wake up cranky if she wakes up by herself. She's going to wake up cranky if I wake her up. So what the heck?
Might as well go for it. Nip it in the bud. Yeah. All right. But yeah, so we were napping again. Consistency is working, but it is consistently late.
So. I bet that'll get better soon.
I hope so.
Yeah. Just inch it back down.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm just gonna do that thing that you're supposed to do before the time change, where you like move it up every 15 minutes every day for like 4 days or whatever, or 10 yeah. minutes every day for 5 days.
Who actually does that though? I mean, honestly,
I don't know.
Do people do that? I stopped doing that after the kid was like a year old.
I'm sure people do. I don't have that like fine of tuned of a nap time anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's all give or take a half hour anyway, depending on how much delay there is, so maybe it's just my personality. But
well, daylight savings always sneaks up on me too. It's like, wait, what? That's like tomorrow? Oh, fuck. Oh, well.
I hope we get rid of it. Anyway.
Me too. Anyway, should we move on?
Yeah, I think we need to move on to our special segment.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is What the Hack, where we share the mom hacks that we have come up with lately. Laura, you are up first, and I assume you've got some fantastic newborn mom hacks to share with us. Am I correct?
Yes, I have been collecting these as they come up because there's so much I forgot, and then as I've run into problems, I have remembered all these little techniques. So I've been taking notes.
Ooh.
But first, I actually want to share a mom hack for moms, for us.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, so this could be controversial because I'm going to frame it as a way for you to get more self-care in your life, but it also involves cleaning. So it's not the most feminist thing, but stay with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My hack, if you need some me time and you love taking showers, bring a Mr. Clean Magic Eraser into the shower with you, okay?
Nothing says me time like Mr. Clean.
Here's why it's not as pathetic as it sounds. So we all need to clean our showers, right? Eventually, like it needs to happen. And the grout gets dirty. And I don't know, I have the white tile in my shower. So that gets all kinds of like weird smudges on it. And the magic eraser is, I don't know, it's probably toxic and terrible, but I freaking love the thing. I'm sure you do too, because I feel like I know you well enough that this is the type of thing you would like.
Oh yeah, love it. Great for getting crayons off the wall when kids draw on the wall.
Yes, yes. I don't know how it works. It really is magic. You just wet it down and you rub the wall and like it gets clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized if I brought it into the shower, I could not only take a nice, long, hot shower by myself, but also get something done. And it also kind of fulfills a compulsive need of mine to like scrub things clean. So it seems fun to me. It's not like anyone was like, you need to clean the shower today. But I was just like, look, you two for one, get a nice long hot shower by yourself and get the shower clean. Win-win.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly better than standing clothed in a shower cleaning it. I mean, I hate cleaning the shower and the tub. Oh, my God. It's the worst.
Because your knees get all wet, right? With like, who knows what bathroom cleaner. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Obviously, you probably shouldn't do this with caustic bathroom cleaner, but the magic eraser, you can be like naked and getting your warm massaging shower head action on your back while you scrub.
There you go. Add a glass of wine and you're set.
I know this totally sounds like one of those ads you'd see in like a 1950s women's magazine. There's like, women love Hoover vacuums or whatever. It makes them happy. But look, this is where I'm at right now.
Take pleasure where you can find it. The magic eraser is awesome. I love it. Elle loves it too. She's discovered the beauty of the magic eraser. I can get her to clean stuff with it too.
Nice.
So introduce it to your little one as soon as you can.
Good idea. Okay. But anyway, that's my first mom hack.
Awesome.
What about you? What do you have for us?
So I have discovered that under the bed storage bins, do you know what I'm talking about? They're big, but they're kind of flat, like maybe 6 inches high, and you can put clothes in them for a different season or whatever and shove it under your bed.
Yeah.
We had a couple of these lying around our garage, and I brought it in as, first of all, as a sensory bin. It's like I put kinetic sand in them one time. So first of all, they're great for sensory bins, right? For the kids playing in stuff. And then also after we were done with that, I threw a bunch of toys in them and then just shoved it under the couch, and it was a perfect storage solution for the living room for getting toys out of the way, like hidden away and just somewhere neat and clean. And I love this solution and I wanted to share it.
That's amazing. I've been meaning to do a toy culling, get them all out of the living room and start to rotate them more. So this is a good idea.
Yes. Of course, this means you have to have a couch that's raised up off the ground. Both of mine are. I know that some go all the way to the ground. But if you do have one and you're looking to have some toys on hand in the living room, but you don't want to see them all the time, just stick them in one of these bad boys and zip it under the couch and you're all good.
Half the reason we got a new bed when we did recently, that I talked about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. One half was because we wanted a king size bed. The other half was we wanted a bed frame that was high enough to put under bed storage bins under, because it's such a loss. We had a low profile bed or whatever last time, and it was 3 inches high. You couldn't fit anything under it. It's so much lost space.
True.
Yeah. So I'm all about those under bed storage bins now.
Love them. All right. What do you got for us?
Okay. So my next hack is actually newborn related. It's perfect for little tiny babies fresh from the hospital, and it's called the swaddle bath. Have you heard of it?
Oh, no, no idea.
Okay, so when I brought Augie home from the hospital 2 years ago, the first time I tried to give him a bath, I had one of these like plastic bath thingamabobs that you put on top of the sink and you fill it up, and it's a perfectly fine baby bath, but he hated it, hated it, hated it, hated it. And I didn't know what to do about it, and I was kind of stressed about it, never wanting to give him a bath because he screamed and screamed and screamed. And then my friend Teresa, who was a guest on the show very early on, she's the midwife who came on our show, she taught me about the swaddle bath technique.
Ooh.
And it has revolutionized how I give newborns and small babies baths. I started it about 2 months into Augie's life, but now with Sebastian, I started it from like day one, the minute I could give him a proper bath when his umbilical cord stump fell off, you know, because that's like the when you can finally give them a real bath. I started it with him and it's a game changer. Okay, so here's the basics. You can Google it, but here's how we do it. So you get a like muslin blanket or receiving blanket. This is actually perfect for those receiving blankets that are too small to like actually use as a blanket, and you don't really know what their point is, but you don't get rid of them because someone gave them to you at your shower and you're too, you know, you feel bad about throwing them away. Okay, yeah. So you take one of these receiving blankets. You put it down, you put your baby down, you undress them, you take off their diaper, and then you wrap them in the blanket so it opens to the front. And what you have is like you have four corners of the blanket, right? So each corner goes over one limb, like a blanket does, right? So you have sort of a little wrapped up envelope of a baby. So the baby is nice and warm, and then you bring it over to your bathtub and you put the baby into the bath with the blanket on them already. Okay. So they never get exposed to the cold air. And then you have like a cup or a scoop or something, and you scoop the warm water over them while they're still wrapped up in the blanket so that the nice warm water stays on the blanket, stays on the skin. And so they're cold, like, because they get scared and cold with the cold air hitting the wet skin, right? So they're completely wrapped up, swaddled up. It's not a true swaddle, obviously. Their arms aren't completely tight in or anything. And then what you do is you just peel back one corner to wash each limb separately. And then when you're done washing that limb, you just put it back on so that they're never more than like one limb exposed at a time.
Wait, are they submerged in water or just like sitting in an empty tub? I'm confused.
Well, the way I do it, I have this bathtub that has like a sling in it so that their little like basically like their little butts and backs are in the water, but they're not fully submerged. Does that make sense?
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. If you have, because I think that the way newborns are, they have to be reclined so much that you can't really have more than a, like an inch or two of water. So no matter what, their chests are going to be exposed to the air. So that's what we do.
I see. Cool.
It's worked so well. Actually, I'm going to send you a picture because it's actually the cutest thing, too. That's the other benefit is that it's the cutest thing ever.
Aw.
Okay, so I'm sending you the picture.
Okay. Aw, that does look cozy.
Right? I mean, he's just so snuggly. He's so happy. In this picture, he's actually sleeping because he's so comfortable.
Wow, he looks so cozy.
So there's one more step I forgot to mention, which is before you get the baby in the bath, you have to lay out your exit strategy, for lack of a better word. So a lot of people have these hooded baby towels, which is what I have, but that's not enough. They get cold. Those get wet and cold. So what you have to do is, I do this on my kitchen island. First, you put out a very warm blanket, like a big fuzzy blanket or like a nice thick blanket, not just a muslin one. You want like a good baby blanket. And then you put the baby hooded towel on top of that. So the minute you're done with the bath and you like want to rinse them off with fresh water, you can instantly pick them up, scooch them right over and double wrap them so that they're nicely bundled up. I'm going to send you a picture of him double bundled after his bath, and it's also very sweet. But the double bundle after is actually pretty important too.
Aw, lucky baby, so bundled and warm.
And he's snuggling with the cat.
Yeah, that helps.
Yes. So the swaddle bath. If your baby is not liking their baths, do what I say or just Google it. It's probably helpful to see a visual. And we'll post pictures of this on our social media so you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That is another hack. Shauna, do you have another one for us?
I do. My next one is a teeth brushing hack that works on both of my kids. So when they are resistant to me brushing, because I let them brush most of the time, and then I will just kind of grab the brush and get in there and do a better scrub down, you know, but they don't always want me to do that. I do a thing where I say, wait a minute, is that a little penguin I see back there on your back tooth? I gotta get it. And they're like, oh, penguin, and hand me their toothbrush. And for some reason, they're like really into the idea of me like capturing penguins or lions or whatever animal of the day is back in their teeth with the toothbrush. So once I do that, they let me have the toothbrush and I can like brush back there. And I'm like, okay, got that one. Oh, let me see the other side. Oh my gosh, there's a lion. And I get the little lion and they're laughing and opening their mouth and letting me go in and brush every single tooth, which is a miracle. I don't know why this works, but they love it.
That is genius. I'm like actually going to try that tonight because we have the hardest time. It's the same. He's like, Augie, do it. And he like grabs his toothbrush. And then I'm like, okay, say, ah, let me see those molars. It never works. So I'm going to try this and report back because...
Okay.
That's genius. Yeah.
Yeah. Try it. I'm curious to see. And then my other toothbrushing hack is more simple. It's just have a lot of different toothpastes on hand and let them choose which one. Mm. We've got bubblegum flavor. We've got a Moana one. We've got minty. And really, my kids 95% of the time just choose mint. Like they just choose adult toothpaste. But they love having that autonomy over what toothpaste they get to choose.
I can see that.
And that begets cooperation, which is always a good thing in the bathroom.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to get more toothpaste. We just have the one.
Ah, yes. Stock up.
Okay.
So that was a quick one. Do you have another one for us?
I do. Okay. So this is a thing I've actually never tried, but I'm planning on it. But I just heard about it and I wanted to share, which is, do you know about dangle pumping?
No. What in the world?
So I learned about this from the Milk Minute podcast. We actually recently were guests on the Milk Minute podcast, and I love the show and I've been listening to it. It's a really great evidence-based breastfeeding podcast. And they talked about dangle pumping or dangle feeding, and I had never heard of it. And so I had to Google it immediately. And it's something that I guess people do a lot of if they have a clogged duct. So the idea is that you can use gravity to help you unclog a plugged duct. Mm-hmm. So literally you're dangling your breast over like the side of a chair or whatever you can do to get it hanging straight down with the nipple pointing towards the ground when you're nursing or pumping. But it actually can help you pump more, apparently. Like,
really?
One of the hosts of Milk Minute, and I can't remember which one it was, said that she always would do it at the end of her pumping session because she could get way more out by dangle pumping. Oh. So I'm going to try that. I'm only pumping once every couple of days right now, just if I have to replace a feed. But I'm going to try it so maybe I can build up my stash.
Yeah. Well, that's genius. I wish I would have known about that, although I feel like I would have felt very silly in that position. But if it means more milk, I think I might have gone for it.
I feel like there's a lot of people who go to extreme lengths
to pump more, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is just a different position you can do it in. It sounds like it could be messy depending on what your pump situation is. So you have to be really careful.
True.
But yeah, dangle pumping. Give it a try.
Good to know.
I'm going to. I'll check back in. Maybe we'll do a loose ends and I'll tell you if I tried it and how it worked.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay. But my boobs are upright right now because I want to hear
good to know
your next hack. No dangling. I mean, they dangle in a different way, but let's be honest.
Dangling boobs. Good content. Love it. All right. So mine is something I just came up with because I was having a problem while potty training Cece back when we were doing that. Is her little potty did not have a place for toilet paper. And that was driving me nuts because I would pick up her potty and bring it with us outside or in this room or that room. And I always have to be like, where's the toilet paper? You know, I couldn't keep track of it. And so my hack was to make my own toilet paper holder on her little potty. So I got some packaging tape and a chopstick, but you could also use a pencil or whatever is like the right length and skinny width to do this. I taped it on there. I did it upright so that the toilet paper roll could just sit right on top. And then it traveled with us wherever we went. And smart. I felt like a genius for that.
That is very smart. I like it.
I will say we have a new potty now that we, a different style, and it has its own toilet paper holder on it, which is also genius. But a lot of them don't have anything like this. So I just made my own.
You know, I'm wondering if this is because it's kind of like male centric, because I have to admit, we don't really use toilet paper. We either use like wet wipes or nothing because with boys, they pee and they don't really have to wipe. It's the dangling. We're back on the dangling.
Dangling. Now I know what I'm going to name this episode. I don't know. Something to do with dangling. Maybe not.
Something
we'll
to do with dangling. But yeah, that could see that being a problem because obviously girls, I know, I need toilet paper.
Yeah. And part of potty training is teaching her how to use toilet paper and how to wipe. You know, it's part of the Daniel Tiger song. If you have to go potty, how does it? If you have to go potty, stop and go right away. Flush and wash and be on your way. You know what? Nope. They don't even talk about wiping. Never mind. That's also male centric. You know what? Now that I think about it, the girls, when they watch that, they both go, why doesn't anyone wipe? Why isn't Daniel wiping? I'm like, I don't know.
It's the patriarchy in action, Shauna.
Yes. The patriarchy is alive and well on Daniel Tiger.
Oh, poor Daniel Tiger.
Poor Daniel Tiger.
Doesn't the mom tiger not have a name?
I don't think either of the parents have a name.
Fair, fair.
But the dad does not wear pants.
Like Donald Duck?
Yeah. And neither does Daniel, but the mom wears a full outfit, a dress, of course.
She needs to be put together.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, she does, for all that housework. All right. You have another one for us?
Yes. Okay. So I read about this in the New York Times. This is another thing I haven't tried, but I aspire to try. So there was an article at the end of last year, December 24th, and it was titled The Tiny Victories That Got Parents Through 2020. The subtitle was It's Been a Rough Year. Let's Celebrate the Little Wins. And I thought it was a very sweet little article about like all the nice things that happened. And I took a note of this because I was like, oh, this is really smart. So one of the little anecdotes was from a woman named Janice A. Clear from Brooklyn, New York. And here's what she said. She said, I was fed up with trying to figure out which tiny socks belong to my one-year-old versus my four-year-old. So now the baby only has striped socks and the older kid has solid colored socks. The older kid's socks are handed down to her cousin. So striped socks for one kid and solid for the other. I can see this being super helpful going forward.
Yes. Yes. I already kind of have that problem. And I just hate socks trying to find matches anyway. So I just bought Cece all white socks. So she has all white socks. And then Elle has whatever combo of whatever pattern socks she had. So yeah, I like that. I think that's a great idea.
Sock sizing super confusing too. Because like we'll get out some socks and I'll try to shove them on my guy's feet and it's like awful. I'm like, oh, these are for 6-month-olds. But when they're all shrunk down, it's hard to tell, right? There's just such a small size difference when they're not on a foot.
Yes. So, yeah. Yes.
I think I'm going to implement this once Sebastian gets into sock wearing territory.
That's smart. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have another one for us?
Yes, I have one more. And this is a mealtime hack that I love to use. I love to hide things in pasta sauce, like vegetables and meat and stuff. But the key is to use elbow macaroni or some other small macaroni, because when you chop up the meat, like if you chop up ham or whatever and vegetables and then put in the sauce and with the elbow macaroni, it all just looks like one big chunky dish and they can't tell the difference between anything. And they eat it all. So my hack is to hide vegetables and meat, if you want to, into elbow macaroni pasta.
Because it gets like sucked into the hole, basically. And so they end up actually eating it as opposed to just eating the pasta and the sauce falling off of it.
No, it all just becomes camouflaged with the red sauce. Like because the macaroni is a certain size and like when they take a scoop, like everything just is on that one scoop.
And
like, you know,
it.
Imagine if I put all that stuff in a spaghetti with like long stringy noodles. Well, they're not going to eat the vegetables that are along with that. They're going to pick out the long noodles because it's very obvious the difference. You know, what they like is the pasta. They don't like the other stuff. So everything is the same size, consistency, little chunks, and, you know, throw a marinara on there and boom, it all, it's like just one big bite. It's almost like a chili in a way.
I see a pasta chili. Pasta chili. Yeah, that's very smart because we use like penne or rotini, but you're right. A lot of sauce gets left in the bowl. So, okay, I'm going to do that next time. I'm going to add that to my Instacart.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Cool.
All right. So that's all I have. What about you?
You know what? I actually have a bunch of really tiny newborn ones. Not the newborns are tiny, but the hacks are also tiny. So I was thinking maybe we could take a break and we could come back and I could just do them rapid fire real quick.
All right.
Just impart my knowledge after the break.
I think that would be great. Let's do it.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment.
They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and Laura's got some rapid-fire newborn mom hacks for us. Laura, I can't wait to hear what you've got. Lay it on us.
Okay, so these are all things I've realized recently because I have a six-week-old, obviously. So the first thing I realized, this happened like 3 days postpartum. I had one awful night with the baby where I had to change his clothes like 5 times until I remembered this hack, which is get a freaking bib on the baby before anything else. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't leave the bib on them while they're sleeping in their bassinet.
So you had to change clothes because of spit up, not because of like poop.
Yes, because of spit up. Sorry, should have been clearer. My first was a happy spitter. This one's a happy spitter. Actually, a little bit less, but you get the bib on. So like, let's say they need a change of outfit because they've had a blowout or they did get spit up on their clothes. When you're changing their clothes, put the bib on, then put the new clothes on. Right?
Oh.
Because for me, I forgot about that. And I would like get the whole outfit off, put the whole new outfit on, go to grab the bib, turn back around and see that he had spit up all over his shoulder already.
Oh, no.
So.
Okay. I see where you're going here. Smart.
There's a bib on the baby at all times, except mm-hmm. for sleeping. Okay. That's the first one. The next one is related to spit up as well, which is a lot of us have breastfeeding pillows, right? I had the breast friend I really liked. People have boppies. And it tends to encourage, I think it's like the cross cradle position, I think is what it's called, where mm-hmm. they're just lying in front of you on their side, basically, in nursing, which is what my preferred nursing position is. But I realized what I needed to do was angle the breastfeeding pillow just a little bit so that the baby's butt is down, like lower than its head, while mm-hmm. you're nursing, so that they don't end up with as much spit up.
Yes, I remember doing that too. Yeah. Smart.
So angle that baby's butt down while you're feeding them. It's a lot easier when you're bottle feeding because it's sort of more natural to have them at an angle. But when they're breastfeeding, it's just very easy to not do that. So
mm-hmm.
that was something I was reminded of. Final spit up related one. If you have one of these breastfeeding pillows that has a like cloth cover over it, first get a second cover. You're going to need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I discovered is that I use these sort of waterproof, they're essentially puppy pads, right? They're the medical disposable pads that like on the back have a bit of plastic and on the top it's like a absorbent thing. It's like a bed pad. It's
like a pee pad, puppy pee pad.
Yeah, like a pee pad. It's just like a puppy pee pad, but it's like a medical pee pad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I buy them in bulk, and that's what I use for diaper changes and whatnot. They're really great for on the go diaper changes. Not great for the environment. Sorry, environment. It's my bad. But anyway, so I have these things, and I realized that a really great way to protect your breastfeeding pillow is you put one of those under the cover. So between the foam and the cover, you put one of these waterproof pads so that when the baby spits up all over it, you don't have it soak all the way through to like the inner lining, which mm-hmm. is kind of yucky. So
smart.
That's that tip. That's the last spit up related one.
Okay.
I have just one more newborn tip, and this is diaper rash related. My new tip is after you've cleaned the baby's butt with a wipe, and if you have a boy, cover up the penis, you blow on the baby's butt before you put the new diaper on.
Okay.
You want that butt to be dry.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to end up with diaper rash if you have a moist butt. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. a lot of people say, like, try to have diaper free time and try to, you know, do all this stuff. And they try to sell you all kinds of creams. I use Boudreaux's butt paste as a butt cream. I use it all the time. But before I put the butt paste on, I blow on his little butt and get his skin nice and dry. Mm-hmm. And that clears up so much diaper rash. It's amazing.
Yes, yeah. That skin has got to be dry. I used to just use a tissue, like grab a tissue and blot it dry. But I like your method. I like your method. No trash.
I don't know. I mean, it might be a little weird, but you really definitely have to cover the penis if you have a boy because you could get sprayed right in the face.
Oh, yeah. That's why. I was wondering why you needed to do that.
Yeah, you have confused. Two girls. Yeah.
Yes. No penis knowledge here.
Oh, that's what she said. What? I don't know. That doesn't really work, but I had to say it. But anyway, those were my rapid fire things I've discovered or rediscovered recently that's been really helpful in the newborn phase. So hopefully some of you are pregnant and listening and like taking notes so you don't have to suffer through diaper rash and spit up covered breastfeeding pillows like I did.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing. Those are awesome.
Always. But anyway, that's it for me. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, what do you have for us this week? A BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. It's a board book that Cece has been loving lately. And we've had it in our library for a while because our friend Jen gave it to Elle, actually, for her birthday a few years ago. And that book is called Found, and it's written by Selena Yoon, and it is so cute. I loved it when she got it for Elle way back in the day, and we've just rediscovered it recently. Like, Cece's gotten hooked on it. I mentioned last week, I think, that she's been getting more into books and, like, what's on the pages and really curious about them and requesting to read books over and over. And this is really one of them that she loves. She loves talking about what's on every page and inspects everything. And it's about a little bear who comes across a lost toy bunny, like a little stuffed bunny, and tries to find the owner for the bunny and puts found posters everywhere, like found bunny, like if you're the owner, contact me. And just searching high and low for the bunny, but of course falling in love with the bunny along the way, and finds the owner of the bunny. And I will let you figure out how the rest of the book goes when you get it yourself. If you do, I won't spoil it for anyone. But it's just so cute. I love the illustrations. They're really adorable. The story is good. And Cece loves it. So I just really wanted to talk about that book.
Oh, that's really cute. How is it, like, longer than your average toddler book? Is it more engaging?
It has a story with a beginning, middle, and end, which is good. You know, a lot more than a lot of toddler books, which are just like red ball, purple triangle, you know, just naming objects or just random little rhymes that don't add up to much story-wise. So that's what I really love about it. It has a story, and it's a board book. So, you know, it's like typical 10 pages, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very simple.
I guess that was sort of the question behind the question is like, yeah, because I'm sort of tired of the Sandra Boynton-esque books. They're great for younger toddlers, I think, and for babies. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten to the point where we really need a story to stay engaged. So, yeah. I mean, that's not entirely true. He'll still look at his books that are just pictures of trucks with the names of the trucks underneath it. He'll look at that for an hour. But I need a story in my books. So,
yeah. And Cece is just naturally showing more interest in books with stories. Mm-hmm. Like, she, one thing she really loves doing is going into Elle's room and picking books off of her bookshelf now. So, you know, paper books, bigger books, books with more complicated stories are all on her radar now. So it's really fun. And this book is a nice in-between. It's not a baby book. It's not a five-year-old book. It's just a really sweet, perfect book for like a two to three-year-old, I think.
That's great. I'm going to have to look it up. Found by, what's the author's name again?
Selena Yoon, Y-O-O-N. Yeah. All right. What do you got for us?
You know what's funny? I have a book, too. Oh. It's a book week. Mine's a BFP, awesome. I should say. It could have been a BFN, I guess, but no. It's a BFP.
Cool.
So this is a book that I actually got from the library. They're doing curbside pickup, and I've been trying to order books. And it's hard because, you know, you can't browse and just pick books off the shelf. So I've been trying to find recommendations. And this is one that the library actually recommended to me. And it's called Not Quite Narwhal. Do you have that one?
Oh, yes, we own that one. It's wonderful.
It's so great. And I know it came out in 2017, so it's not like a new book, but it's by a woman named Jessie Seema. And it's just the cutest little book. I absolutely love it. The illustrations are just so pleasant and adorable. Mm-hmm. So it's about a little unicorn that's born under the sea and thinks he's a narwhal until mm-hmm. he ends up above land and sees other unicorns. And then he's torn between being a unicorn or being a narwhal. And it's just a very sweet little story. And what's really great about it in our house is that the final page, the story isn't, you know, I feel like I'm not spoiling anything for anyone. You know, he finds out he can sort of be both. He can be a narwhal and a unicorn. He can play with both of his friend groups. And they have this huge spread on the last page where the narwhals are like in the water on the beach and the unicorns are on the sand and everyone's playing with each other. And there is so much to look at and talk about on that page that mm-hmm. it's just been really great for like vocabulary and just holding interest. You know, Augie will just be like, I want to look at the beach. And he will go to the beach and he'll be like, what's that? And mm-hmm. I'll be like, that's a unicorn buried under sand in the shape of a narwhal. And you know, what's that? That's a bonfire. What's that? They're playing beach volleyball. You know, it's just one thing after another. There's so much detail on it. So I really, really like Not Quite Narwhal.
That's so fun. I remember being a kid and loving books that had big spreads like that with lots of little details to discover. So I think it's so, so cool that our kids are into that kind of thing, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm really starting to understand sort of the psychology or reasoning why a lot of these books are like they are, because I can see how my toddler interacts with it now, you know? Mm-hmm. At first, I kind of... aesthetically, I'm kind of the kind of person who likes, you know, the book Press Here, you know, that one where it's like you have a dot on the page and you press it. And then the next page, there's like two dots and there's like, press the other dot. And it's very minimalist, like mm-hmm. sort of intellectually and aesthetically. I like books like that that are really simple. But now I see why a book like Not Quite Narwhal, which has a big spread at the end, is really just more engaging for little brains because there's so much to look at and keep them mm-hmm. interested.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. It also reminds me of, have we talked about the book Daddy Honk Honk?
No, I don't even know that one.
I'll add that as my little BFP. So this is a bonus BFP, I guess. It's called Daddy Honk Honk, and it's by Rosalind Bonnet. It also came out in 2017, but it's also kind of got the same color scheme, really kind of pastel-y, very just pleasant colors. And it's about a Arctic fox who inadvertently adopts a little goose, a baby goose. And the little goose follows him around saying, Daddy Honk Honk, Daddy Honk Honk. And it goes around to all the Arctic animals trying to see like how he can learn to be a dad. And it's just really cute. And it ends with a big spread of all the animals watching the northern lights. And it's just so beautiful and such a sweet Aww. Little story. So Daddy Honk Honk will be my bonus BFP.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to check that one out.
But that's it for me.
All right. And I guess that's it for the episode.
Yeah, so let's wrap it up.
All right. Listeners, we would love to hear from you. If you have any BFPs, any mom hacks, we want to hear them. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You can send us an email, and you can always include a voice memo in that email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. Search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join because it's a private group, answer the two membership questions, and we will send you right through to all the really amazing and beautiful conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show's produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.